Hey there! Welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the quirky podcast that gives you writing tips and life tips, and maybe a chuckle or two.
You sound like such a grandpa.
What a great start.
And maybe a chuckle or two. I'm Carrie. I'm the New York Times and internationally best-selling author of kids' books.
And I'm Sean, her lovely co-host.
We're married, and you can tell. Normally, we start off the podcast with a random thought. Sometimes that's in bed, sometimes it's in the car, sometimes it's in the office, but it's always random, like us. And then we'll give you a writing tip and a dog tip.
And hopefully some good fodder as well.
Thanks for sticking with us.
Enjoy your day.
Hey, random thought.
I guess we are doing it.
Yeah, man, we're doing it. The random thought.
Yeah. It's first thing in the morning.
And you can hear Gabby prancing on our floor in the bedroom. It's just why we're awake.
That's right. Yeah. Laminate flooring and dog paws are not a good combo.
No,
sleeping.
She needs her the toesies trimmed, but it's COVID. And
I'll trim them. I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, not all the time because it's not necessary, but I do it regularly.
Yeah. And I had a lot of dreams last night. I dreamt that I should write a book named Yarn.
Yarn?
Yeah.
Why?
I have no idea. I dreamt I had to travel to Fort Kent to pick somebody up, but we weren't going to be able to, so we had to take the bus back because it was snowing and my mom was at the doctor's.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
That's a weird one.
I know. And I dreamt that our cat was in the Bedford Mall, and I couldn't catch her, but then I would catch her, but then I'd lose her again. And she was really fluffy. But then there was this giant mean cat.
Was that our current cat?
Yeah, it was Coco. But then there was a giant mean cat named Big Tom.
Big Tom.
And he was going to kill Coco.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but why they looked alike, only he was Coco, like this monster-sized cat.
Yeah.
He was like a footrest kind of cat. Those are my dreams, man.
Those are pretty crazy.
I would have much rather had like a, hey, here we are at a villa on the Mediterranean with an infinity pool and endless champagne dream. But no, I dreamt about a snowstorm in Maine, cats in danger, not being able to pick somebody up.
Hey, let's talk about that for a second, actually.
Oh, God, okay.
No. When's the last time you had a dream that would qualify as like the typical definition of a dream, like something happy and nice?
Oh.
Because I can't remember having one in years. And now with all this COVID stuff, I'm just wondering, do people even dream nice dreams anymore?
I don't know, man.
Are they all anxiety based?
I keep a dream log diary.
Yeah.
I call it the pandemic diary.
Yeah.
And it's like 36 pages or dreams since March. And I don't know if any of them have been happy.
Did you just start it in March?
Yeah, I started when COVID started.
Really?
Well, officially started.
That's awesome. I'm sure you told me that. I just forgot. Or didn't pay attention.
You don't remember anything important because you don't pay attention.
But I do. I remember it later on in my dreams.
Liar.
Then I get anxiety.
Look at that fluidly he lied. That was smooth. That was a smooth lie. You just went moosh.
What is a lie?
It's about when you take the truth and you twist it and make it into something else. Or when you just
totally
ignore
truth?
What the truth is. Oh, jeez. It's Sunday morning.
Isn't the truth all based upon a personal point of view?
The truth is
not all truth, that's for sure.
Whatever comes out of a politician or a psychopath's mouth.
Oh, that's a good definition.
Yeah. Not that all politicians are psychopaths, obviously.
No.
No. Or marketer.
Or car salesman, yeah. Writing tip of the pod.
So So this week's episode is called Rules for Writers and Money and Everyone Else Too.
Ho!
Yeah.
Makes me feel like we're writing a Medium article right here. Are we regurgitating stuff that's been said 1,000 times?
Yes. So speaking of Medium articles, you'll find a lot of popular content all about how to make money everywhere on the internet webs. There are a lot of random blog articles about
how I made $8 trillion in passive income a month.
Or
22 awesome passive income ideas that'll make you $8 trillion.
Which is lovely. But a lot of us writers are thinking, what are they talking about? What's passive income?
Baby, what's passive income?
All right, let me tell you, babe, what passive income is. Passive income is money that happens and builds from things that already exist. They can be from investments, like you rent a room in your house or an entire house. Like you rent the whole house.
Right, or you
open a savings account or CDs. It can also come from the investment of effort and time in something you build, like my Teachable class. This could be a YouTube channel or your ebook once it's up and running. It could be affiliate marketing or selling prints of your art.
I think if income is passive, it shouldn't be tax claimable. You know what I mean? Like, it already exists.
Yeah, man.
That future income should be free and clear. They should just send you cash.
Cash all the time.
Yeah.
So, what is active income then, right?
I'll take this one.
It's income that gets off the couch?
Yes, that's what I was going to say, similarly.
Stops watching YouTube videos.
Active income is money that someone pays you when you do something for them. That's a service. It can be your salary at the grocery store. God bless you. It could be your hourly wage at a bookstore. God bless you again. It could be a commission. It could be a tip.
Yeah, man. So what's all this have to do with writing, right? I talk to a lot of writers, as we all know. Like, I work with a lot of writers, right?
Yeah.
And most of us are kind of dumb about money. And I feel like everybody in the business utilizes the heck out of the fact that we're all creative and we're like, what is passive income?
Let me help you writers out.
Okay.
Spend less than you make, you'll be okay.
But anyways, what does this really all have to do with writing? According to a study by the Authors Guild, the average full-time writer's median pay was a mere $20,300 in 2017.
Wow.
And that's full-time.
Are those the ones that post pictures of themselves in bed with their feet in their laptop? And like, I'm working hard, but I just can't get it out.
Don't be mean to writers.
I'm not being mean to writers. Right. It's enviable. I want to be in bed all the time. For one reason or another.
Yeah, let's not go there. So for most of us, $20,000 a year is not a big ton of money. And there's no standardization of pay in our industry. And that number doesn't account for pay discrepancies according to sex, to gender, to race, right?
Right, of course.
It's a big deal. Like, if you're a female, bi, or lesbian, or black writer,
yeah,
it's very likely that you're getting paid a lot less than a big old white straight guy.
I got you.
All right.
Just like everything else in the world, right?
Uh-huh. And that sucks. So, anyways, on Publisher's Lunch, Aaron Somers looks at average earnings instead of just that median wage. And because the more data that you have, the better, right?
Heck, that's what you've been telling me lately.
Yes, it is. And Aaron wrote,
for the 63% of authors who reported receiving book-related income in 2017, the average total income was $43,247, which paints a very different picture. Over 2,000 authors had average publisher royalties of almost $32,000. Close to 1,700 self-published authors reported royalties of just over $31,000. And a smaller group of about 700 authors also had average ebook subscription service earnings of over $13,000.
Which is a lot of money, right?
Dude, those self-published people are doing pretty good right now.
That's why I'm starting to self-publish. Okay, so, but those numbers are only the authors who actually survived and didn't give up. And they're the authors who got royalties and earned out, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so like it's still not really the super awesome, like, data that you want. So, about a quarter of the authors that the guild surveyed received no money at all from book activity that year. So, most of us writers have to have other sources of income outside of writing. And that, my friends, is why we're writing this blog.
About how to make money on the side?
Yeah, man, because being constantly terrified of not making money makes me, Carrie, a stressed-out writer who sometimes worries more about money and profitability than the actual craft of writing.
Let me tell you.
And a stressed-out Carrie what? What does it
equal? Equals a cranky Carrie. Nobody wants a cranky author.
Named Carrie.
Named Carrie and named anything.
So here are some examples.
A cranky partner.
I think he's relishing that a little too much. But anyways, so here are some examples of passive income investments when you have money to spend. Let's say you get a big old royalty advance, right? And it's like $30,000 all of a sudden, right?
Yeah.
Woo, happy times.
Go buy a car.
No, dude. Here are your possibilities. Like, here are some really good examples of passive income investments when you have money to spend.
You could buy an investment property and rent it.
Did that.
You could invest in a high-yield savings account.
Not sure if I did that.
Don't think they exist right now.
Okay.
You could check out crowdfunded real estate with REITs. Interpret, please.
Their site's like Fundrise, and they're a great place to start.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Like, you, sounds interesting. You co-own real estate.
And other people manage it for you.
Sometimes, but you all own it together.
Take a look at that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You could try peer-to-peer lending, like on the Lending Club, where you can loan money to others and get a return.
Yeah, kind of like Kiva loans, but local in your own country. So, examples of passive income investments that are more initial work than initial money include...
affiliate marketing on your blog. When people click through an ad that's on your blog, you get a commission when they buy something that's affiliated with that link.
We've done that.
YouTube. If you get a big enough following, you can monetize your YouTube channel and have ads during your content.
We do not do that.
That's because we don't do anything recipe related.
All right.
I can't bitch for a minute. Oh, that was a bad word. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's like today when you bring up a recipe online, you can't even see the recipe or whatever because all the ads populated, and then you got to read the person's life story just to get to the ingredients in the recipe.
Well, that's on a blog.
Whatever.
All right.
It's a pain in the butt. You could create an online course.
Yes.
Teachable and Udemy.
Good enough, boo.
Are great places to show off your skills.
Did that. You can sell your art prints or your photos. Shutterstock is a great resource for photographers. You can...
make an ebook. Seriously, especially if it's nonfiction.
They make a lot of money, those nonfiction writers.
Yeah? Like the how-to guides?
Mm-hmm. And the self-help books.
Makes
and,
sense.
The Tucker Max people.
Well,
so
that's just a good story, probably. I mean, not good in my feminist point of view, but, you know.
All right, rent out some storage space or your car or a room in your house, man.
Let's buy a house and turn every room into a storage locker.
Oh my gosh, that's kind of a fun idea. Okay.
All right.
But our town would get so mad at us
because we don't have enough housing. Yeah, they would. It's probably not under the code.
All right, so finally.
You can sell your clothes. If you've got a room full of clothes that you never wear anymore and are in good shape, ThredUp and Poshmark will often give you cash or credit on their site, and it's good for the environment, or at least better for the environment. And yes, nobody caught that, but daughter Emily does have too many clothes.
All right, so then there's other ways to take control of your money situation, right? And these are kind of obvious, but sometimes it's good to be reminded of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like we were really specific before, and now we're being a little generic, but generic's helpful sometimes. Apparently, because you get 27,000 claps on a Medium article when you're generic. Oh, I'm bitter.
You're bitter?
I feel bitter.
Well, we've talked about Medium a couple times lately.
All right, so...
there's a trend.
I have a trend.
Coming out.
Okay, other ways to take control of your money situation. These are ways to make extra income, but it's also about not spending too much money and saving, right?
That's
like Sean said at
the beginning. All you need to say right there, basically.
No, all right, well, here. Ways to think about it. Number one,
Live like a student. Does that mean eat ramen all the time? Mark Cuban, the guy from Shark Tank, is a big cheerleader for living beneath your means. Don't buy all the things.
He has a yacht.
Pretend. He does. We see it every summer. Pretend you have less money than you have.
His yacht is anchored outside our town a lot, and his yacht is huge. So I'm not sure that Mr. Cuban's actually doing this, but I guess maybe that he could have an even bigger yacht?
That's right. I mean, his means are outside of most of our scope of means, so.
It's good advice for us.
He's not going for top-notch yacht, so he's living beneath his means.
Number two, step away from the credit card. My dad was always murmur screaming, "Do not use credit cards. They are evil demons from hell."
And he was right.
Yeah, so don't use them if you don't have to. Use your debit card, man.
The interest rates on these babies are horrific. You end up owing these companies so much money. Try to pay off or pay down your bill every single month and then step away. Lock them in a gun safe, which you don't have a key to, apparently, or something. Seriously, try not to use them.
It's just another... Although your computer saves all your credit card info, so now it's really...
Yeah, right. You don't need... The thing is that if you're going to use credit cards, you want to use them in a way that you can pay your entire bill off every month.
Don't hit the podcast.
That was for emphasis.
Oh, my word.
You want to pay your bill off every month, then you're building your credit. But that takes a lot of discipline to live within your means via credit card.
I do it.
Yeah, you do, and you're living within your means.
Yeah, man.
Right. When's the last time I bought a new pair of underwear, baby?
I'm about to buy some.
Are you?
Tell me you were holy.
Holy? I accidentally put my leg through the hole in my underwear the other day instead of the leg hole.
I just think it's sexy. All right, so gather information. Reading blogs and books, much more in depth usually are those books, can give you the information you need and generate the ideas necessary to move your life or your business or your writing to the next level. A $25 investment with a potentially $1,000 return. This is not about my teachable class, but it should be. That's kind of a no-brainer, honestly. Be as informed as you can so you can make the best possible decisions.
That's right. Don't be afraid.
That's our next one.
Because I grew up poor, and because I heard a ton of stories about the depression and the stock market crash of the 1920s.
My grandfather was a stockbroker, allegedly, and watched one of his friends die, and I became a bit terrified about stocks and things. And Shawnee grew up poor, too.
I did grow up poor, but I heard a ton of stories about stock car racing and stuff like that. So, totally different. I mean, you're up here in New England wealthy. I mean, poor. New England poor, but civilized, and I'm down
Florida
poor, but civilized, but differently civilized. You know, it all works out.
Yeah, man. But don't be
afraid. Listen to the old folks, it'll all work out.
Don't be afraid, though.
Yeah, don't be afraid.
You have to, you know, learn and take risks and invest. That's right. And... All right, so here are the three rules that help me deal with my fear and invest my money.
I ignore everything that's happening in the stock market when it comes to my portfolio.
It's a stark market, man.
Yeah, it's very stark today.
It's Ned Stark.
Okay, Carrie never makes mistakes when she talks.
All I do is make mistakes. That's why I get so happy when you do.
I ignore everything that's happening in the stock market when it comes to my portfolio.
Mm-hmm,
I pretend that once that money is invested, it's just gone. And usually it is. This lowers my anxiety even as I plug in $25 a week automatically to a random Edward Jones account.
Do it.
If you want to invest in something scary, only invest 5 to 10% of your total investments in that scary possibility. Standard & Poor's mutual funds are good places to put a bit of money into.
Yeah, man.
Go for the cheapest ones possible.
Yeah, you don't want it. The big ones. All right, so all together, writing tip of the pod. It's okay to talk about money and to be smart about it.
And save your pennies.
Save them all.
And be cheap. That's it. Be cheap.
Don't be afraid, though.
No, don't invest. Be afraid. Invest is different.
Become smarter. Cheap. Learn.
Right. Dog tip
so loud.
For life.
You're so loud, boo.
I am, what do you call me, high context?
You are high context, my little cutie pants of cutie pantsness.
So, I was talking to Spartan about money. He's like, man.
That's our dog.
I don't give a crap about money. As long as you got enough money to buy me dog treats, the world is good.
That's right.
And I said, all right, Sparty. How can you relate dog treats to money? Of course, he was laying down.
His gut
was still higher than the rest of his body.
Aww.
And he was like, look down at his belly. It's like, I equate dog treats to money like this. Don't gobble all your treats at once. Ration them.
Yeah.
Be thrifty with your treats.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might even want to invest a treat. Sometimes I'll pretend I don't actually see that treat thrown out there, and I'll save it for later. And I said, that's a bold-faced lie, dog. He said, I know it is, but I just laid here and listened to you guys talk about money for 15 minutes, so...
He
sounded
learned?
Good, huh?
He got learned.
He's a pretty good learning dog, actually.
He really is.
Or used to be.
Yes, he's old now.
Now he's in that you can't teach an old dog new tricks kind of phase.
Yeah.
Or he pretends. It's like an old person. They just do whatever they want because they pretend like not to know.
I know.
Sparty's the same way.
He really is like that. He's like, oh, you want me to give you a paw and shake?
I mean, he'll fart in bed like an 80-year-old in the grocery store line. What?
You just totally interrupted me talking about how he just does it, and I wasn't done.
Oh, I'm sorry. Erase that. Go back and start over.
I
did. It was funny.
Yeah.
Well, you know you're standing behind that man, and he's like, bruh. Just pretends like it never happened.
Anakin, you're breaking my heart.
I'm breaking your heart?
You're breaking my heart.
What'd you call me?
Anakin.
Anakin? What does that mean?
Oh, boy. You have no nerd cred if you can't even know a Star Wars line. None at all. So anyways, before we go, what I was going to say was that Sparty, you'll be like, shake, buddy, shake. And he'll be like, looks at you, wags his tail, twitches. He'll be like, shake. And he'll be like, this was a dog who like would normally put his paw up to shake before you even said it.
Right.
And now he'll be like, I don't know. I don't know. And then he'll like do this like half motion up with a floppy paw. And he'll be like, put your hand under it.
So not only is he pretending to not learn, he's pretending to unlearn.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah, he's that lazy, man.
Sparty's my idol. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Please like it and subscribe.
You can find it anywhere that podcasts are, because I don't know why. They haven't kicked us off yet.
Yeah.
And you can join over 250,000 people who have listened to this podcast.
Man, you've been saying that number for a while.
Yeah. Well, it's really 100,000. I don't even know how. It's a big number.
Sweet.
Anyways, the music that we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome, and it is made available through the Creative Commons license. If you go to our show notes on carriejonesbooks.blog or Dogs Are Smarter Than People, you can find out who this artist is and what their song is, and even go to their artist website. But it's Summer Spliff, and it's by Broke for Free. And you can find out more about my books and all that kind of stuff in my writing class, and I teach and I edit things by checking out Carrie Jones Books, CarrieJones Books.
Yeah.
.blog.
I gotta tell you real quick.
Oh no, honey, don't.
No, I just want to say that you're the best editor, teacher, writing coach ever.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Okay.
Very sweet.
I mean that. I can tell from your students' reactions when I overhear them in the class, Zoom classes. And I read your reviews and your emails. I love you. You're amazing. Thanks for listening.
Outro's supposed to be fast.
Okay, I was done a while back.